If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. Now, in my early days, that was Philippians. And you don't even want to know some of them other names I used to call. I'm a dumb old country boy, and I'll never forget one time trying to pronounce Sennacherib. That's one of the kings that fought against Israel, and it did come out wrong. And you didn't even want to hear me talk about a tomb and use the word in the Bible. I finally used tomb because I got laughed at so much because I could not say sepulchre. I called it a sepulcher. I thought I was really being good. Glory. And I have learned that you can take the boy out the country, but you can't get the country out the boy. Hello? Amen. I was in New York preaching, and I was trying to be so specific, and I knew that the church I was at, they had several doctorate degree professors and teachers and different ones there. And after church one Sunday morning, I was preaching in Long Island, New York, and I went to the back, and this lady started out, and she said, "You know, I appreciate you trying." I said, "What are you talking about trying?" She said, "Well, I know you tried to be specific. You missed several things. I am a grammar teacher." I said, "Well, I appreciate you not being too bad." She said, "But when you said fingers for fingers, we knew you was from the South." So, you know, we just got our own way of talking. But now it did get me a free meal at a very expensive restaurant. And then the dude came to revival the rest of the week and bought tapes. Man, that's back when you had tapes. Y'all remember those? Glory. I remember 8-tracks. Glory. These kids are going, "What's an 8-track? A predecessor to a cassette tape, which is predecessor to a CD. Amen. But I went to this restaurant to eat, and I ordered what I wanted, and the waiter come by, and he said, "Sir, we don't want to cause a problem, but the gentleman at the other table said he'd buy your food if you'd order it again." I said, "Hand me that menu." A few minutes, that guy slid up beside me. He said, "Man, I love just hearing you talk." I said, "Well, you can hear me every night this week. I'm going to be preaching over at Evangel Temple in Lindenhurst." He showed up every night, bought tapes. He said, "Man, I just love to hear you talk." But now, folks, listen. It really got bad when I was in Chinatown. I was eating a Chinese restaurant, and this guy looked at me and said, "You talk funny." I want to talk to you this morning for just a few moments, probably, you know, several moments, on the high calling of work. Labor Day weekend, we celebrate working. Amen. And I know we got a lot of folks that don't believe that. Do you know now we've not only got people that claim to be transgendered, in other words, God made a mistake when he was building them. Because, and don't think that's so funny, because now in the public workplace where they're dealing with the public, they're being taught how to talk to people so you don't offend somebody that's a woman thinks she's a man or a man thinks he's a woman. You have to approach them right, because if you offend them, the ACLU will help them sue you for free. And if you happen to be one of them people here this morning and you want to sue me for free, go for it. I ain't got nothing for you to get. Amen. But that's the new agenda of the ACLU. Now they've helped everybody else get what they want. They've gone with the transgendered people. But now we have a man in Canada who claims to be trans-disabled. We got people like that around here. They just don't admit it. But this guy says he's disabled to work even though his body is able. And he filed for disability in Canada, and they refused him. So he filed again, and they refused him. And so he walked in Home Depot, took a power saw, and cut his arm off. He survived, so now he's disabled. Glory. I wouldn't have gave him the money anyway. I said, "You ain't getting nothing." Hello? But that's the world we're living in. I had a guy call a radio station. Now he is trans species. He says he's a dog, but he was born as a human. I've known some humans that were dogs. Boy. But I'm waiting to see that surgery. Amen. Hello? But church, the reality is we live in a world where folks today don't think work's important. Matter of fact, most people get saved, get in church, and then they try and say, I'm going to get rid of all the four-letter words in my language, and they'll drop W-O-R-K first. And we have people in church says, oh, I'm just here. I'm loving God. I'm here to be blessed. That's not what you're here for. You're here to work. You're here to be busy for God. You're here to do something to let the world know there is a God. Could you say amen? Praise God. If we've ever needed anything in the day in which we're living, we need Christians to stand up and start acting like normal folks again. Amen. Quit using excuses. I didn't say it'd be nice. I just said I was going to preach a little while. Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. For those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. On an important in a bulletin board contained the following memo. In case of fire, flee this building with the same reckless abandon that occurs every day at quitting time. Glory. I got this out of a marketing daily book, but 64% of U.S. workers enjoy their work a great deal. 29% enjoy somewhat, while just 5% don't care for work at all. When it comes to work-life balance, only about 50% feel they've got things down. Every month, workers bring lunch to work 8 days during that month and eat while working 7.5 days of the month, buy lunch at a nearby cafe 5.9 days out of the month. They skip lunch entirely 3.5 days out of the month. 60% of the workers say they usually work nonstop and never even stop for lunch. 28% of the women say a snack break would help them be more productive. 30% of young workers, 18 to 34, claim that ice cream would boost the morale. This was found by buyers when they did an ice cream survey. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? I believe one of the greatest deeds in America is for God's people to become workers again. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I was always taught work was something you did. It wasn't something you took a choice. You did it because it was necessary. Hello? I was trained from a young child that we worked. I don't know, by the time I was 12 years old, I thought baling hay was a summer thing. Glory. Didn't like it, but I knew it was going to happen. And I remember my brothers and sisters, they all got married. By the time I was 12 years old, I was the only one left at home, except on weekends when everybody showed back up. And they'd work, and we'd eat together. And, man, we'd eat. And I'll never forget one Saturday in particular, I challenged my dad. I said, hey, I'm 12 years old. I shouldn't have to work on Saturday. It's the only day I got off. I ought to be out playing with my friends. He said, go ahead. I thought, whoa, it was that easy. Man, I took off over to the neighbor's, just about a mile and a half away. And we had a great time playing. And I heard Mama ringing that bell, meaning lunch was ready. So I go flying home. I get to the back door, Dad said, what are you doing here? I said, come to eat. He said, no, you ain't working. You don't work, you don't eat. He forgot to tell me that morning when I told him I wanted to go play. I didn't know that was in the equation. I went back over to my friend's house and found a piece of bread with some cheese on it, and I ate it without asking. I figured I was, I was okay. I was welcome there. Glory. Then the mama come back through there wanting to know where her bread and cheese was. That night I got home, supper was waiting. Only I wasn't allowed to eat because I ain't worked. I had to go to bed without eating. Now, y'all may not understand this. I was a little fella at 12 years old. I was 4'11", weighed 75 pounds, but I was used to eating 75 pounds worth of food most meals. I was working on getting my size now. And I couldn't understand not being able to eat. And I had to go to bed. My mom couldn't even slip me something. My dad took it away from her. Nope, he didn't work. He don't eat. I got up the next morning, and they had the bacon and eggs cooked, and they were in there, and they were slopping down like hogs. I wasn't allowed to the table. But you can bank on one thing. I didn't go with my friends to play on Sunday. I went to that field, and I worked, and when 11 o'clock came, I tore up some food, and I learned a lesson. You don't eat, you don't work, you don't eat. You know, the Bible actually says that a man that don't work shouldn't eat. And the truth of the matter is, my dad was teaching me a lesson. And I'll never forget, my dad was, he was a dumb old country boy. Amen. Worked all of his life, tried to raise his family, but he had a lot more sense about some things than I thought he was. And you kids understand something. I thought my daddy was dumb till I got older, and then I realized he's smarter than I thought he was. All that stuff I thought he didn't know, he probably knew more about than I gave him credit for. You know, I remember my dad telling me one time, said, "Boy, you need to learn how to save your money." I looked at him, I said, "Dad, I'm making more money than you now." Hello? I wasn't being mean. I was just being honest. I was working at Gaffer's department store. I was 18 years old. I was manning the children's shoe department. My dad had been at Gulf State Paper all his life, and I was making more money bring home than he was. But he understood something. That wasn't always going to be the case. And then all of a sudden, I got married. All of a sudden, I had bills. All of a sudden, I was buying all that food I was eating. And it wasn't long till I realized that he really knew what he was talking about. But my dad gave me a piece of advice. He said, "You can make a great living if you'll work a half a day every day the rest of your life." And I thought, man, that's great. He said, "Just pick out which 12 hours you're going to work and go for it." Amen. What do you do for a living? Listen to Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. "And whatsoever you do in word our deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God for the Father by him. Servants," in the 22nd verse, "obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service or man pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, so that the Lord And so it's unto the Lord and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." What was Paul telling the church at Galatians? When you're working, you're not just trying to get a paycheck. You're representing God. And when you're on that job, you make them realize what a real Christian is when you show them what a Christian's doing when they're at that workplace. Come on, church. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I believe it's time some of us realize the high calling of work is the call to transform where we are and let people know who we are by what we do while we're around them. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I used to be a carpenter. God never called me to be the greatest carpenter. He just wanted them to see what Jesus looked like when he was driving nails. Some of you may be secretaries, and God never called you to be the greatest secretary. All you ought to do is best you can, but you ought to show everybody what Jesus looked like if he was a secretary taking down shorthand or typing or doing whatever. You say, "Preacher, what you getting at?" Whatever your line of work, you ought to be the best Christian you can be at what you're doing, so that when they see you, they see Christ and they know there is a God somewhere that's inspiring you. You have been called to change the world, and the way you do that is by living before them every day a life that shows them God when he's doing whatever you're doing. Glory. Say, "Preacher, I'm not sure about that." Luke 14:23, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." High calling of God is to work. Church, we're not here just so God can bless us. If that was all we were here for, was to get together. Listen, a lot of times we come to church on Sunday and we think it's about Sunday, but no, we're preparing for the week. This is where we get refilled. We get re-anointed. We get redressed out to go to a workforce in the week to let them know what God's all about. Hello? So Sunday's about Monday. Because that's the highways and hedges that we're supposed to be working in. Well, I think God just wants us to stay here to worship him. That's stupid. We could do it better in heaven. I had to tell him, God left me here to bless me. What are you going to get down here? It's greater than what you're going to get over there. Huh? I mean, down here, everything you get is going to go away. Moth and the rust doth corrupt, and the thieves break in and steal. He may tear your car up, cost you hundreds of dollars to get it fixed when they're trying to break in. Glory. That's for one purpose in particular here tonight. Somebody tried to break in his car, cost him $1,200 to get his car back. They didn't get in, but it tore his car up. Hello? I don't know about y'all, but we live in a world, no matter how much we get, it deteriorates, it goes away, it dilapidates, it's going to die. That's the idea of thermodynamics, that everything starts one place, it keeps deteriorating until it's gone. And now we live in a world where that's it. So no matter what God gives you, it's going away. But when we get on the other side, there'll be no more corruption, there'll be no more destroying, there'll be no more thieves that break in and steal. So there's nothing you're going to get down here will compare what you're getting over there. God did not leave us to do that. He left us to be a light to a lost and dying world. He left us to have the high calling of working for him in this world so that everybody we come in contact knows there is a God somewhere. Glory. Somebody said, now preacher, do you really believe that? Yes, I do. Do it with integrity. Do it with honesty. Amen. Y'all may not believe it, but I actually know honest car salesman. I actually know a couple of honest lawyers. Why y'all getting quiet? I know there's a lawyer sitting here. There's probably a couple of car salesmen here. I'm not sure about a couple, but, you know, glory. But the reality is, come on, church. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You go to most car lots. Oh, yeah, some little old woman on that drove it to school once a month. It's got 500,000 miles on it. Lord. Where'd she work? Arizona? Glory. Amen. At least Junior Samples was honest. He'd kick the car and it'd fall apart. Glory. Smile. These young folks ain't got a clue what I'm talking about, but they miss good TV. You didn't have to worry about getting cussed out or seeing naked folks when we watched TV. You just laughed. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. But the reality is we need to understand God has called us to transform our workplace. Somebody said, well, now I can't witness on my job. You can witness without ever opening your mouth. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Listen. What if we took Philippians 4 and 8 and made it our job description? Listen to what it said. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. What would happen if that became our job description? As an employee, I'll make my job to be truthful to my character, that I'll live my life with integrity. In other words, I'll be the same on Monday as I am on Sunday. Come on, church. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I was at a church in Georgia preaching revival one time, and I see this little boy in the back, and he's crying. I walked back to him. I said, son, don't you want to give your heart to God? He said, talk to me after church, preacher. Well, I didn't know the kid that much, so I took him out. All I knew was his mama was a church clerk and his daddy was a big wig in the church, pastor's council or something. Anyway, we go outside and we're standing there talking. He said, preacher, I got news for you. I'm as saved as my mom and daddy. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, my daddy smashed his finger the other day and it wasn't the gospel. He was a quoting out there in the yard. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm trying to tell you, you got to live 24/7, 365, what you do on Sunday morning, so the people around you understand there's more to it than just, I'm a church member, I go to church. If you're just like them, you're not ever going to win them. You've got to be different, and you've got to make a difference in their life. You've got to be true to your character of who you are. Glory. Wednesday night, I'm doing a study on living in the power of the Spirit. And one of the things we need to understand is, church, if you're a fruit-bearing tree, you're going to bear the right kind of fruit. You're never going to get a peach off an apple tree. I don't care how hard you try, it ain't going to work. And I don't want a bunch of fruit inspectors, but the truth of the matter is, some of you, you ain't got the right kind of tree growing. Because what comes off your tree is not what God wants you to have. Amen. How do people that work with you, how do they think about you? I got one guy in the church gets in trouble because he's copied my habit. Said the other day his wife almost slapped him. Said, don't do that. She knew where he got it from. Glory. Amen. But now notice this, Matthew 5:37, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whosoever is more than these cometh evil. In other words, if you say yes, make sure you meant yes. If you say no, you mean no. If you give somebody your word, stand by it. When I was a kid, you didn't have to have contracts. You shook hands with somebody. That's all there was to it. Hello? If you was in the country, you spit in your hand. That was it. That was a bond. Now you can cover your hands with ink and they still ain't going to trust you. Hello? Why? Because folks don't give you their word anymore. Their word ain't no good. Church, the only thing I got going for me is my integrity and my word. If my word's no good, I got nothing else going in my life. And the same goes for you. But we've got people that'll make promises and they'll do all these other things that they never intend to keep. They're just trying to tell you what you want to hear. And let's face it, church, that's what the world believes about Christians. We need to get to that place where we make them understand we're living for God. And because of that, that's my job. More than what I'm doing on your place, I'm working for God. But because of that, you'll benefit from it, because I'll be honest in what I do. I'll have integrity while I'm doing it. And I'm going to show people what Christ looked like. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? When you're a Christian, everything you do has Jesus' name wrote all over it. As an employee, I will make it my job not just to be truthful, but to be honest. 1 Timothy 2:2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodliness, our godliness and honesty. Are you honest in the approach of your work? Do you really try to do the best you can? You ever heard this? I give them a day's work for a day's wages. You know what? You just cost that guy money. Because it costs him more if you get benefits of any kind to work than what you make him by the hourly wage you make. See, some of y'all look at me and go, well, I appreciate, I don't understand that. Well, you've never had employees. But when you have employees, you find out you got to have insurance on them. You got to pay all them benefits they're getting that they think just goes along with it. So if I'm working for $10 an hour and I give him $10 worth of work, I just cost him money. And I don't know about y'all, but people in business, not in business to make us happy. They're not there so we have a job. They're there to make money too. And for that to happen, I've got to give them more than what they're paying me. And if I do that, eventually I get progressed and I get moved up. But you watch people, oh, they dragging their feet. I gave him his money's worth. No, you didn't. If you gave him his money's worth, he wouldn't be walking around trying to find another employee. You'd be moving up in the company and you'd be doing things because that's integrity and that's honesty. Oh, hey, Brad, go crank up the car. It's looking rough right now. Glory. Bring it over here by the door. I'm going to have to get away in a minute. Hey, man, smile. I did that because the way y'all looking right now, y'all scaring me. We're going to work, and we're going to get the tar and feathers, and we're going to run this preacher out in the rail. It's the truth, church. It is the truth. If every one of us operated the way I'm telling you, we would have it made in this world. People would respect us for who we are. Glory. Do I do work with a bad attitude? Oswald Chambers said, moods do not go away by praying. Moods only go away when you kick them. Glory. Hello? Come on, church. Amen. I'm going to pray I quit having a bad attitude. No, you decide to quit having a bad attitude and just quit, you ain't going to keep having it. But if you decide you're not going to go to work every morning, come on, church, smile. I hear kids, oh, I hate school. Why? What's school ever done to you other than make you have to get up in the morning instead of laying in bed like a lazy scoundrel? I don't know about y'all, but Saturday mornings we didn't sleep at the house. We got up. Even in the summer, because Daddy was going to town, and if you didn't get up, you didn't get to go to town. And that's the only time you saw other people. Glory. Amen. But I mean, we got kids, I hate school. You know, if you change your attitude, school's not half bad. I mean, let's face it, church, ain't nobody had a disdain for school any more than I did. But I loved going to school because it gave me something to do. I'd never had a problem going to school. Two reasons why I didn't have a problem going to school. Number one, I realized if I go to school sooner or later, I'm going to graduate and then I'm going to be somebody. Number two, I knew if you didn't go to school, you had to take medicine. You didn't stay home because you felt bad. Oh, I feel bad. Mama come in there with a spoon about that wide full of oil. You didn't have to take but one spoon of that, buddy. You'd be dragging your leg. Is it broke? No, it's fine. Huh? Some of you older folks remember that. Our kids now, they might tell my kids, oh, baby, stay home. And you're training them that when they go to work, you can't figure out why they keep losing their job. It's because every other day they got a little bellyache or they got a headache. Or, come on, church. I've been in school when my eyes were backwards, but I wasn't staying home because I wasn't taking that all. Glory. Smile. But attitudes is what messes us up. If you don't like your job, find out why. It might be you what makes the job bad. Glory. And all the time, well, I hate working for this guy. Why? All he wants me to do is work. Hello? Reader's Digest, a true story. Letter sent from an employer to an employer from an employee. Dear sir, I arrived at work yesterday morning. The bricks need to be loaded in a barrel, moved up to the roof. I loaded the bricks in a barrel and I pulled them up to the roof. And I took them out, and I got ready for work. Then I realized that there were blocks on the roof that needed to be put back down on the ground. And I put the blocks in the barrel, I climbed down, and I undone the rope that holds the thing up. And I suddenly realized this barrel now weighed more than I did. And immediately the barrel came down, and I went up. He said, at 20 feet, I realized I couldn't turn loose, and said, actually, I hit the barrel on the way down. Said it cut my head and it skimmed my knees and it ripped my britches. And said when the barrel hit the ground, it rolled over, the blocks fell out, and suddenly I'm heavier than the barrel. And I met the barrel coming up. And it pinched my hands. And I let go. And suddenly I realized there was nothing to hold the barrel up on the top, and it hit me in the head, causing a concussion, and I am in the hospital now, respectfully asked for sick leave. Glory. I know none of y'all have had that kind of day at work, but sometimes we're responsible for what happened that made us have that bad day at work. Come on, church, smile at me. Amen. As an employee, I'm going to make it that I'll have a better attitude. Our words come out of our attitude. We can let circumstances shake our perspective, or we can use good perspective to shape our circumstances. Hello? As an employee, I'll make it my job to do my work as if to make my boss say, I love it. Glory. Word translated in Philippians chapter 4, lovely, means I love it. You ever had your boss go by going, I love it, Lord, because you're doing something and they really like what you're doing because you're working? Come on, church. Amen. I want to make God, make my boss say, I love it. Amen. As an employee, I'll make it my job to be admirable. When my employer talks about my work, does he or she say good things? Are they having to redo it because I didn't do it right? Wouldn't you hate to work at Mercedes where every bolt tightened, they know who tightened it? Because there's only 18, 20 people builds every one of those cars from start to finish. And when they get through, there's a card by the name of the leader in that windshield. And they can look at it, go back, pull the records, and tell you who tightened what bolt that held the right seat down. And if they get enough callbacks, you don't keep your job. Hello? But when your job, your boss, or who you work for talks about you, what do they say? Do they say that's a good employee, works hard? Or do they think you're fluffing on them, just getting a paycheck? Hello? Ain't none of your business, preacher. As your pastor, I'm telling you, this is why the church is losing its ground and its foothold in the world, because we've reversed from what we used to be to a bunch of freeloaders that thinks everybody owes us something because we're Christians. Come on, church. Amen. Smile. Ain't nothing worse than a preacher that thinks everybody owes them something because they answered the call to preach. Amen. Smile at me. Don't look at me like that. That's why when I was an evangelist, I didn't quit working until I got to the place I could support my family without it. I drove nails. I'd done everything I could to find money to keep my family going, because I didn't want my kids to grow up going, my daddy's a preacher, ain't never had nothing. I hate ministry, because that's what happens to a lot of preachers' kids. They have all that put on them, and they have to do without. And the next thing you know, they're mad and they're upset. But the reality is, it's because their dad used the wrong attitude and the wrong ideology. He wasn't admirable in what he'd done. Because let me tell you something, I'm first obligated to be the head of my household. I'm second obligated to serve God. I'm third obligated to be a preacher. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I need to make sure I'm the priest of my household. And to do that, I've got to be the provider. And I've got to, come on, church, smile at me. That's good preaching. You say, what's that got to do with me? I ain't a preacher, but that's the way everybody else ought to be. We ought to have the attitude that I can't get there without doing it myself. Come on. God will bless what you do. But work has got to become a part of our life. People often look at me, preacher, why do you do what you do? Because I'm who I am. I can't lay around the house and watch the sun go up and go down without doing something. I feel bad when I'm sick and can't get out of the house, because I feel like I'm hurting somebody by not doing what I'm supposed to do. That's why when I blew my knee out, I was in a wheelchair preaching the next Sunday, because this is my life. This is what I do, and I'm going to do it till I can't do it. Come on, church. Smile. Somebody looked at me the other day and said, why is your brother still cutting his grass? Because he can. And he ain't going to quit doing what he can do until he gets to the point he can't do it. He's now got an oxygen bottle riding around on his lawnmower cutting grass. Amen. Why? Because he's not going to quit till he has to. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? That's admirable. That's doing your job because you realize it is your job. As an employee, I'll make my job to be worthy of my employer's praise. I'm hurrying. I seen an employee one time take and give his business to his employees. Two of them made him a profit. One of them didn't do anything, and he fired him. You say, where'd you get that story? St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. I'm not going to read it to you. It's in there. I actually put it in the notes, but she didn't pop it up and let you read it behind me. But it's simply a story where he said, I gave one guy two talents, or five talents, one, two, and one, one. And he said, I gave it to him according to what I thought they could handle. In other words, he understood, I got a five-talent guy over here. The one-talent guy can't keep up with him, so I'm not going to give him five talents. Church, don't make the mistake of comparing yourself to somebody else. I happy all the time. Well, why ain't you doing what they're doing? Because I ain't them. Worst thing you can do is try to keep up with somebody you can't compete with. Because the minute you do that, you're going to have more trouble than you're worth. If you're not a world-class swimmer, you're not going to keep up with a world-class swimmer. The guy can run a mile, and you can't. You're going to die before the end of that mile, and he's still going to be running. Hello? Guy told me the other day, he said, I run every day of my life. Best thing I ever done. I said, look, dude, if I run every day of my life, I'd be dead the first quarter mile. Oh, I'd be easier to roll. God understands that. We don't. Everybody's not going to be an Einstein. But everybody can do what they can to the best of their ability. And what God got mad about in his story was that one guy got one talent, didn't try to do a thing with it. He just let it sit there and die. And you see, the reality is that's where it's at. And the Bible said he cast him into hell. That meant he really fired him. Glory. Glory. We got to work in a way that's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. If we do that, then God will bless us. I know it's 12 o'clock, but I'm working. I thank God that I came up the way I came up in ministry. I got saved. I had a good pastor. Brother L.S. Duckworth was as good a pastor church God ever had. His old country fella just loved folks. The people around me, Brother Roger Jacobs, 47 years of pastoring. Now, though he's retired, he's still pastoring. He's pastoring one of our little churches that can't afford a pastor. Brother Rex Taylor was one of the greatest preachers the Church of God had to offer. He was in Alberta. Brother Earl Hall was as good a preacher as the Church of God had to offer, and he was at Northport, and I went to work for him. Brother Leroy Smith was at Coker, and all those men became my mentors. And because all of them could preach like they could, I thought that was the only way you could make it. So I made it my standard to live by. And I've not made it there, but I keep trying. And I may not ever be the greatest pastor the Church of God ever had, but I'm going to die trying to be it. And I'm going to do the best I can to be the shepherd God called me to be in church. I'm just asking you to be the best sheep you can. Nobody's asking you to do anything else in this world. But if we do what God's called us to do, we make a difference in the people we're around. Stand with me. Ken Stroop words, Colossians 3:17. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of Jesus Christ, thanking God and the Father for every step of the way. Servants, do what you told by your earthly masters. And don't just do the minimum that'll get you by. Do your best. And when the heart of your real master realizes it is God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come to your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you serve is Christ. Everything I do for him. In him, by him, for him. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by power, nor is it by might, but it's by thy spirit. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way in us. Touch us with your anointing. Father God, I believe you for the outpouring of your spirit to come down and touch your people. God, put in us a heart that in this last day, we become the light to a lost and dying world. And that we serve you with joy and peace, honesty and integrity, and with a love that will change the hearts of those we come in contact with. Father, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.